Today, we're just going to Acts chapter 1, verses 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And, you know, like Christine said, the stories that were shared this morning, and there's so many other stories. It's not the people, it's the power of God. It's God's power, and this is why it's so awesome for me when I think about this. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, it's simple. It's hard for people to receive because they got to get past their pride, their prejudice, whatever they grew up in, whatever they learned in life. It's hard for them because they got to look past all of that stuff, all that junk, to see something that's very simple. But yet it's so simple, yet it's so powerful because it directs and leads for our, you know, leads us to into eternal life. And so it's so powerful that it is eternal. And so here we find in Acts chapter 1, Luke writes, and it says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus," what a name, "of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he," talking about Jesus, capital H, "he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." You want to write, if you're taking notes or whatever, if you want to write in your Bible, I'm not sure if you already underlined promise, but promise of the Father, that's something that's great. Which he said, and he's quoting what Jesus says, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the utter end of the earth.'" Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that, Lord, tonight, Lord, we receive a revelation. Tonight, Lord, just like this morning, Father, we receive a charge, Father God. Lord, I thank you, God, that you see us fit, Lord, to have a part in impacting someone's life for all of eternity. Lord, our lives were changed, Father, because someone shared the gospel, because someone read the gospel, because someone shared and acted out the gospel to us, toward us, in front of us, Lord, and that it caught our eyes and that we were able to see the truth, and it is your truth that makes every man free. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Real quick, those of you that weren't in Sunday school this morning, the missionary, man, I wish we would have recorded him, Joe. I didn't even think about telling you to record him because that was good stuff. What he taught this morning about missions, the mission of God, and how it originated from Genesis, and it just goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and it's the mission of God and how God wants all, and he gave a promise and that his blessings were towards all men. And so here, God's promises are good to every believer. So if you weren't there this morning for Sunday school, I do have an outline. If you want a copy of that, I'll give that to you. Just make sure you don't forget and you remind me so I don't forget, so I can go ahead and make copies for you tonight before you leave. But it was very good, so there's outlines for that. So here we find that Luke is writing and he quotes what Jesus said. And actually, verse 4, I'll read that again. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he," Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." I know that I'm probably not the only one. As a matter of fact, I know I'm not the only one that you have problem waiting. How many of you have problem waiting for something? Okay. You have problem waiting to hear good news. You have a problem from waiting for someone while you're in the car and they're inside the house and you're waiting for them to get out of the house. Can I hear an amen? Okay. I knew that one was common. But you it's something about waiting. Something about waiting is difficult. Something about waiting is, well, it's inconvenient. Something about waiting is, that's not what I want to do. And so here, the instructions were given to them by Jesus. And Jesus says, depart not from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. You know, God's promises are so good that they're worth believing in, they're worth waiting for, they're worth living for. And as we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ who were martyred for their faith, it is worth dying for. You know, when I read before in Hebrews chapter 11, I remember Pastor Dow calling that the chapter of the hall of faith of those believers that trusted and waited, or trusted and believed in God, and they didn't even see the final outcome, but yet they trusted in the Lord, and it was their faith that, because they trusted, it was in their faith in what God said, it was in their faith in who God is, that they didn't back away or they didn't turn away, but they kept living. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who died for their faith, they believed in God's promises because they gave up their life for the promises of the Father. And then, of course, all of God's promises are yes and amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. You know, at one point in time, I thought that was just a phrase. I didn't really know that that was a verse at one point in time. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes in him. Who's him? In Jesus. For all of the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in Jesus, amen, to the glory of God through us. You see, so when we look at God's promises, or when we're talking about God's promises, we could take his promises to the bank. The fact that Jesus is going to come for us, man, I hope that you believe it to the very end, because he is. I hope you believe it with all of your life, with all of your being, because Jesus will come for a bride, like Shannon mentioned this morning, for a bride spotless, without wrinkle. And so Jesus is coming back. The plan of salvation was not difficult to understand. Again, like I said earlier, what makes it difficult is our mindset, our thoughts, our wants, our will, our desires. We want things to happen like this. We want God to serve stuff to us on a silver platter when we're ready, when we want it. You know, because sometimes a lot of us, and I'll say us because it's not just me, I know it's kind of some of you, you sometimes would rather have God to be like a microwave, where you just put down the amount of time that you want to wait, and then you, whenever it's done, then that's when you want it, and then that's when you want to partake of it. The plan of salvation was not difficult to understand. Do you remember the day that you came to know Christ? Was it difficult to understand the good news of Jesus Christ? I mean, somehow, I don't know how long it might have taken the Holy Spirit to deal with me, to allow me to see the truth, to allow me to see that my life was sinful, that my life, I was headed in the wrong direction, that my life is so fragile, here today, gone tomorrow, and that I needed to realize this very important fact. My sin is going to take me to hell. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. But because of my wants, because of my desires, because of my sinful pleasures and desires, that cluttered that. And so for a lot of people, it is difficult to understand that, because you got to go through all the junk you've covered up your mind and your eyes and your life with. You can't really see it's something simple to trust in him, to believe that God did what he did and said what he did, and to believe what God did what he did, and that what he said is true, and that that is something that you can believe in it. When you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, just think about that. I'm not sure how many of you have to go very back far, but just think about that day when you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Was it like a trip to the dentist? Was it really painful? I'm assuming, because you're a Christian, it was very humbling. It was very humbling, because you realize what a wretched person you are. What a sinful person you were. Let's just say you were, because hopefully you're not anymore, but you were. What a perverted mind you had. What a foul mouth you had. The life that you lived in darkness. On that day, the truth was revealed to you. On that day, light was shined into your eyes, into your heart, into your life, and you saw yourself for who you are. So the gospel, the saving message of Jesus Christ, it's not rocket science, but a step of faith was taken, and you realize that your sin is going to send you to a place that was not created and not prepared for you. I like the fact that, you know, God didn't prepare hell for me, for you. He prepared it for the those one third of the angels that were booted and kicked out of heaven. That's what hell was prepared for. Not for us. Not for humans. That's why God doesn't want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And he made a clear path for all of us to follow. And it's a simple message to trust in him. If he created us, why can we not trust in him that he created us with a purpose, with a future, with an end that is pleasurable to be with him forever and ever? You see, your sin was more of a problem you thought than you thought, wasn't it? You realized, oh man, my sin is a big deal. Hell is real. Somehow the light turned on in your head and you realized, and that was the word of God, the truth. The truth makes us free is what scripture says. And so on that day, it wasn't rocket science. Someone just shared or demonstrated the love and the word of God to you that you were able to see who you really are and the truth about it, that you were a sinful person and that you needed a savior. Your sin was disgusting and nasty, and that's what separated you from God. So it wasn't really rocket science. It wasn't really tough. So if it wasn't really tough on that day that you came to know Christ, why do we make it tough? Why do we make it difficult to share it? Because of whatever we have in our minds that's clouding us to see that it is a simple thing to do, to share who our best friend is, to share who we are in a relationship with. I'd be in a big trouble if I took Shannon to our high school reunion and I did not introduce her to any of my friends, anybody. She was just my shadow and she just walked past me. And who's that? Oh, nobody. She would not be a happy camper. I would be in trouble for that. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, right. Amen. But this is the thing. When we came to know Christ, it wasn't rocket science. It wasn't so difficult. We were slapped upside the head with truth. We saw who we were. And it was a simple message. Choose Christ. It's a simple message. Choose Christ. Choose life. Choose eternal life. I got a couple of videos that I'm going to share with you in a little bit, but we're going to see again. Just be reminded, because some of you are probably going to be like, oh, I already knew this. Well, good. If you already knew this, then the Holy Spirit's reminding you, because maybe you just might need to be a little encouraged tonight to do a little bit better, to do a little bit more, because it's really not difficult. If it wasn't difficult for you to come to know Christ, why are we as Christians making it difficult to share Christ? So it's something that we need to ask ourselves. I hope, and I don't believe that any one of us in this room were tricked into repenting. I'll give you $10 if you repent, ask Jesus to come to come into your life and to forgive you. I don't think any of us in this room were tricked. I don't believe that. I hope you didn't accept Christ on a dare. You know, I hope that's not the case. But the fact that the truth came to you and the truth made you free. You came to know Jesus as Savior because the Spirit of God led you to know, to see, to hear the truth, and the truth brought conviction, and you were made free. You came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm so thankful that that happened to me. I just well assume that you guys are thankful that that happened to you. If not, would love to pray with you afterwards and make it today to be the greatest day of your life. Well, I have a real short video, the gospel presentation that I found, and it's simple. So simple, it's just like a cartoon. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because there was some other instructions that were given by Jesus. Jesus says in verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So why were we given the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because that's what it's talking about here. Why was the baptism of the Holy Spirit even given to us? Excuse me? Power to witness. It says But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me. Who's me? To Jesus. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about here, that Luke is quoting Jesus and saying to his disciples, it is needed for the fact of being a bold witness. How many of you want to be a bold witness? How many of you have already attained boldness that you don't need to, and you don't need any more boldness? Okay, so therefore we all can go ahead and say, hey, I haven't reached that full potential or that full, you know, full line of boldness as a witness of Christ. So I need some more, okay? So if you need boldness, if you need power to be a witness, we get it through the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus is talking about here. That you shall be witnesses to me, witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the other ends of the earth. The phrase in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the other and to the end of the earth. It's just kind of looking at your town, your neighborhood, if you want to go as far as your house, your neighbors, your subdivision. If you want to go a little bit bigger, your city, your county, your state, a little bit bigger, your county, your state, United States, or the world. And so when you think about you being a witness, and I think you can kind of decipher how good or how well of a witness you are. And if you need help, just ask God to show you. I'm not sure if you really want to, but if you're confident in your witnessing, ask the Lord to show you. Lord, how well of a witness am I? Holy Spirit, show and reveal to me how great of a witness I am, and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. But we all need this power. We all need this promise. It's God's promise. And it was for the certain purpose to look holy. No, right? Was this promise from God the purpose to sound holy? No. Was it the promise to be to have the power, or actually the word power is dunamis in the Greek, dunamis, like dynamite. So that power is like dynamite power to be a witness for Christ, a witness for Jesus Christ. It doesn't say a witness for your church. It doesn't say a witness for your pastor. It doesn't say a witness for your ego. It says a witness to be powerful, or to receive power, to have boldness to be a witness for Christ. Not HTAG, not your pastor, not your ego. You are a witness for Jesus Christ. So the ability to share Christ with its full potential and power, it comes by the Holy Spirit. But you know that, and it is possible, because we're going to look in Scripture in a little bit, but it is possible for you to try to be a bold witness, try to be a loud mouth for Jesus maybe. It is very possible for you to go ahead, and you know what, every single person I see, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And you know what, you can do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, a lot of us, I read every day, and I read, and I read, and I read. You're just doing it. There's the wrong motive. And someone can really do things for God and really go all out and not have the Holy Spirit backing them up or leading them. And it's just them. It's just them being a good go-getter. It's just them being a very successful person. They put their mind to it. Man, they're going to do it. But there's no power in that, because they're just doing it on their own strength. You know, this doesn't scare me, nor should it scare you, but this should cause us to be very cautious and very concerned. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I shared this a couple weeks ago, and I just felt the need to share it again when I'm talking about the fact that, well, I really don't need this power. I really don't need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I really don't need it. Well, it's a promise from God, and God gives us a promise, and he just doesn't give it just to say, oh, I got some extra things to give to you, so here if you want it. It's for the purpose. There's a purpose in that. Promise of the Father to be bold witnesses, to be empowered to be bold witnesses for Christ. Matthew 7, 21, Jesus says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I clean the church for you? Lord, Lord, didn't I teach Sunday school for you? Lord, Lord, didn't I give invite a cards for you? Lord, Lord, didn't I go ahead and give and pay someone's meal and give them this card saying paid for you? Didn't I do that for you, Lord? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work in iniquity. That concerns me, for me. Then it concerns me for you. Because I want to make sure that you guys make it. I don't want you guys to ever hear this, but I want you guys to make it. Then I want your friends to be able to make it and your family members to make it. And then all the people that you witness to, I want them to make it. Why? Because I don't want anybody to go to hell, just like God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. So it's very important that we look at the salvation message. It's simple. It's something that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit, not by our own strength. We got to be careful with that. Because you could be a teacher in this place and not make it. I can be a pastor of a church and not make it. That's real. That's very real. And it's something that we shouldn't be scared of, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But concerned, Lord, what am I doing and why am I doing it? And Lord, am I doing it on my own strength? Lord, I need your power. I need your strength. I need you, Holy Spirit. God, I need your help, because I need to do it for you, because my life is no longer mine. It's yours. When it comes to our sharing Christ to others, we have to make the time to spend with the Father so that our hearts and minds are focused on God and his will. And I want to share a couple of scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. You know, when he kept mentioning simple. It's a simple message. And it's the Christian message. It's something that we can share. I'm not sure how many of you have wrote a diagram of how to get from somebody's house to, from somewhere to your house. You wrote on a piece of paper a map and you gave it to somebody. You might have helped somebody how to establish a budget. And so you wrote down a bunch of numbers. This is something powerful and life-changing and eternal. And it is the simple message of Jesus Christ. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, also go to Luke 18:1-17. And these scriptures are talking about prayer, and in 1 Thessalonians 5, it mentions to pray without ceasing. Now, some people have just blatantly said, well, that's impossible to do. Well, I'd like to say that every splitting moment of my life, I'm thinking about my wife and I'm thinking about her. And so maybe out of the 24 hours, 23 hours I am. I don't want to lie up here. But anyway, okay, so, but it is possible to be thinking, maybe not speaking out, but having a conversation. Some of you guys ever have a conversation in your head with yourself. Okay. All right. It's possible for you to pray more than you think you are already praying. Okay. Because when I say pray, you have to pray. You're probably thinking by your bedside, kneeling down at the altar, at church, or in your living room. But you can pray and talk to God while you're working. I mean, I know several people where there were problems at work and difficulties, not knowing what to do. They're already praying to the Lord in their mind. They're already praying to the Lord. So in Luke 18:1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Oh, wait, that was we just read that in 1 Thessalonians. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Look, if I don't give this lady an answer, she's going to bug me to death. I'm just going to go ahead and give her the answer and then just judge in her favor, rule in her favor. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And so it goes to another story, but it's talking about prayer still. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank
thank you that I'm not like this guy, that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this guy, as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see all that pride just bubbling up. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote or beat upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, the one that was the publican, rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased or put down, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise enter therein. In these few passages of scripture, we find that pray much, keep praying, don't faint, keep praying. If you're one of those people that don't believe that a person can pray without ceasing, well, then just put God's word to test, okay? And do your best every day. It's not going to happen like that, because why? You got all kinds of stuff that you're dealing with, aren't you? Money, kids, husband, wife, all kinds of issues at home, maybe. Or maybe at work. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. But you know what? We can go ahead and attempt to go ahead and put this word into practice that, Lord, I am going to do my best to think upon you. If I'm not speaking it out, I'm talking to you in my head. Holy Spirit, if I'm not calling you out of my lips, Holy Spirit, I'm talking to you and I'm calling you out in my mind. But to pray much, in these verses 1 through 17, we can find where the Word of God is telling us to pray lots of times. Pray without ceasing. Pray with humility. Pray believing and receiving as a child would in faith. So when we talk about sharing the gospel, continue to pray. Allow that to be something that you pray constantly. Pray a lot. God, help me to be a soul winner. God, help me to witness. Holy Spirit, empower me. Holy Spirit, give me the words to speak to these people as I need to be a witness. Holy Spirit, give me a word to share with my teacher. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Pray that constantly. Don't just pray that Sunday morning. Pray that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And pray with humility. God, those people need you just like I need you. Because we can go ahead and look at somebody that is on the street and some drug addict or whatever and just think, oh, I can't believe that person. That person needs Jesus just like you. I tell you what, if you would be amazed if the Holy Spirit was to reveal to you the times that you acted like that Pharisee. That to share the gospel with somebody, that person smelled too bad, or you feared what they might do to you as you walked in or out of the gas station, and you had the same mentality as that Pharisee, is that that person's worse than me. And I'd even pray for him. Because the Pharisee didn't find the time to pray. He only prayed for himself and thanked God for all the things he was doing. He didn't go ahead and look at the other people in the room and say, Lord, I pray for that man across the room over there. It looks like, you know, stuff in his life's pretty bad. He's not even lifting up his head, God. Touch his life. We can go ahead and act like that Pharisee and be so stuck on ourselves that not allowing the Holy Spirit to see the opportunity of reaching out to someone who needs Jesus. So pray with humility. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to speak through me. Lord, there are people at my work. There are people down my street that need you, Lord Jesus. Lord, use me if you can. Lord, if you want to, use me. And pray and believe and receive as a child in faith. God, I know that you can make me a soul winner. God, I know that there are people that I can touch and I can reach. And maybe I may not lead someone to Christ in that prayer, but God, I can demonstrate your love to them. I can give them, I can share something with them that maybe the fourth or the fifth person that comes into their life will probably lead them to Christ, but I can play a part in that. God, I'm all good with that, God. If I can play a small part in that person coming to know Christ, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you begin to place names or faces in our minds right now of the people that we know, of the people that we need to share Jesus with. God, I ask you, whether this is just for myself or for all of us in this room, God, forgive us
Lord, I pray that you all remind the charge that we were given this morning to win the lost, to seek the lost, to desire to see people as you see people, God. People who have not been reached, people who are sinners, people who need Jesus. I pray, God, that you will help us. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've acted or that we've walked away from an opportunity to share Jesus and we walked away from it for whatever the reason might have been. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us. God, I pray that you will help us. Burn that passion within us for the lost. God, it is just ludicrous for us to be so psyched up and so charged up for the lost overseas and not yet be passionate and charged up for the lost in Camden County. God, I pray that that passion, that fire ignites within us. God, I pray that we will be found praying much for the lost. God, I pray that we'll be found praying in humility. God, that we need you, God, Lord, but the others need you also, God. And Lord, use us, Father, to reach them. And Lord, I pray, God, that we will believe in what your word says. We'll receive, Father God, the promises of the Father. God, and that we'll walk in victory, God, because of you, Lord Jesus, and what you've done for us, not because of what we do. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, I pray that the names and the faces that you are placing before us right now with our eyes are closed, Lord, you're placing them in our minds. God, I pray that every single one of us, Lord, that you would use us for your glory to reach those people for Christ. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.